Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all of the Sports Grid Network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Joe Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern Time on a Tuesday to look back on a Monday Night Football finale to close out week number 12. The Harbaugh in a pivotal AFC playoff picture clash last night in Los Angeles between the Ravens and the Chargers. A recap of Monday night, what it means for each individual club, what it means for the AFC postseason picture that we will discuss over these 3 hours. As 1 week in the NFL comes to a close, a new week is on the horizon. And with Thanksgiving just 2 days away, that means a lot of football. Very, very soon, we will preview the Turkey Day triple header throughout these 3 hours on the Early Line as we look at those early lines. As you get ready for Turkey Day, Feast Week underway in college basketball, the premier tournament, the Maui Invitational underway with some thrilling games yesterday in the Lahaina Civic Center back there after a year away. Some action around the association. More NBA Cup action. Joe, there is so much to break down on this Tuesday.
Yeah, quite honestly, Ben, one of the greatest first days of that Maui Invitational that we might have ever had in 41 years, too. Those games were over the top good.
So many dramatic comebacks. Three of the four games decided by just a single bucket. We will get to the Maui Invitational in just a matter of moments. And a special Tuesday here in our second hour, we expect an NFL star to join us here on the Early Line, as well as week 13 around the National Football League begins. My cause, my cleats. A lot to break down throughout these 3 hours. But we start, Joe, by looking back on Monday night inside SoFi Stadium. The Chargers and the Ravens, two teams entering with 7 wins, two teams that occupy the top 2 spots in the AFC wildcard chase at this moment, and two brothers on 2 opposing sidelines. John Harbaugh, the head coach of the flock, Jim Harbaugh, in his opening year in Los Angeles, and for the third time ever, matching up in the NFL, the older brother, that being John, and the flock, they've got bragging rights still. They beat the Bolts last night in L.A. 30-23. Lamar Jackson, MVP caliber again, 3 total touchdowns. Justice Hill breaks off a big run in the second half, as well as the Ravens outlast the Chargers to pick up win number 8 of the season, 30-23. The flock covers as a 2.5-point road favorite. Enjoy a high total for a Monday night finale to week number 12. 50 in a hook does go over.
Yeah, it certainly, it really never in doubt. You can't trade touchdowns and field goals, and that's unfortunately what the Chargers did here as the Ravens scored on 5 consecutive possessions. They knew how to put the ball in the end zone. Unfortunately, the Chargers had to settle for some field goals. Ultimately, yep, at the end, even that score wasn't as close, was closer than what this game really was.
Yeah, a late touchdown to even make it a single score game. The Chargers were trailing by two touchdowns for a good majority of the fourth quarter after Justice Hill breaks off a big touchdown run. And Lamar Jackson connects with Mark Andrews for his second touchdown toss of the game. So Baltimore now 8-4, only a half game behind the Pittsburgh Steelers for the top spot in the AFC North, but both of these teams in those top two wild card positions. The Ravens, though, leapfrogging the Chargers with that extra win on the resume as of this moment. We'll talk more about the Harbaugh in just a matter of minutes, but you mentioned it, Joe. In the four decades plus of the Maui Invitational, maybe the best opening day of the tourney we have ever seen. And it's an emotional opening day of the tourney returning to Maui in the Lahaina Civic Center after those devastating and tragic wildfires of August 2023 that moved the tournament to Oahu a year ago. Back in Maui, back in Lahaina, and what a day it was. We saw three of the four games feature dramatic comebacks and be decided by only 2 points. Connecticut was down by 12 with 3 minutes left. They fight back to force overtime, but Memphis hands UConn just its second non-conference loss in the last three seasons, 99-97. Iowa State led Auburn in a top five matchup by 16 at the break. The Tigers rally in a Jani Broome tip-in gives Auburn the victory. Dayton was up over North Carolina by as many as 21 points early in the second half before the Tar Heels rally for a two-point victory. Michigan State, the only team, Joe, on the opening day in Maui that cruised to a comfortable win.
Yeah, I thought for sure that North Carolina-Dayton game was going to end up in overtime as well. I'm still not sure how North Carolina managed to chip away enough to get back into that game after they got boat raced in the first half. But I'll tell you this, too. One of the takeaways is Coach Hurley of UConn might just be must-watch television every game this year. Anytime you can watch him, do yourself a favor and watch him. One of the most animated and entertaining coaches in college basketball. My goodness, man, that was a lot of fun watching him rip those refs, not only during the game, but after the game. Must watch TV with him.
You could argue the temper of the Jersey City native maybe cost his team a couple of critical points down the stretch in overtime. Plenty more from the opening day of Maui and what lies ahead in the tournament in just a little bit. Let's go around the association. Kristaps Porzingis making his season debut for the reigning NBA champs in the Celtics. Played 23 minutes, scored in double digits, had multiple blocks as the Celtics absolutely crushed the Clippers in Beantown by more than 30. 126-94. Boston, a double-digit favorite. They cover the number.
Yeah, and usually, Ben, when you get a one of your stars back playing for the first time after a really long absence, you know, you got to worry about things not clicking for that team who spent, you know, the first part of the season without him. That wasn't an issue last night for the Celtics. They handled business. It was like he was there the entire time. Another Celtics beatdown last night, only this time with Porzingis in the lineup.
The 11th time that Boston has been booked as a double-digit favorite already this year, 5-6 against those numbers. The New York Knicks, some record-setting numbers last night at altitude. 45 assists as a team, a franchise best, a career high 40 points from OG Anunoby as the Knickerbockers absolutely blow out the Nuggets 145-118 in Denver.
Yeah, it was. I mean, when you drop 76 points in the first half, Ben, that's kind of what you get. That's what you get there too. The Nuggets certainly look like they packed it in there in the second half, but that is a epic beatdown of the Knicks, which means they'll probably lose three games in a row now.
Joe, would you be surprised to know that last night's total of the Mile High City of 233.5 did in fact go over from New York basketball to New York football? Daniel Jones has cleared waivers. He is now weighing multiple offers, wants to play for a playoff contending team.
And he should have options. Ben, let's be realistic. We saw it again this weekend. 49ers, I'm talking to you.
Yep.
Hello.
Absolutely so, Joe. Teams in the postseason hunt looking maybe to add some valuable experience. The New York Jets will retain the 33rd team, a football organization of sorts, to help with their head coaching and GM searches. Former Jets GM Mike Tannenbaum does work for the 33rd team. That seems interesting. UCLA, after hammering South Carolina and ending the Gamecocks' 43-game win streak, now vaults up to number one in the women's AP poll in college basketball for the first time ever.
Yeah. And that's why the Jets will end up with Shane Waldron as their head coach. You heard it here first. There you go.
Listen, the guy can coordinate an offense. He'll have a backup lineman running a goal line sneak. More for Monday night next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Monday Night Football finale to week number 12 of this NFL regular season. The Harbaugh last night in Los Angeles. John and his flock, Jim and his Bolts, squaring off to conclude week number 12. The third ever meeting between these two brothers in the National Football League. The first since Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans, way back to end out the 2012 NFL season between Jim Harbaugh and John Harbaugh. And the older brother, that being John, had won the previous two. Why not make it lucky number 343 last night in L.A.? The Ravens surge in front in the fourth quarter by two touchdowns. The Chargers add one late. But Baltimore, the decisive victory on the road inside SoFi Stadium, 30-23 over the Chargers. The flock responds from a loss last week in Pittsburgh. Baltimore covers as a 2.5-point road favorite, a lofty total for a primetime and marquee matchup of 50 and a hook. Does sky over?
Yeah, and really, it's so funny because John Harbaugh beat Jim Harbaugh by playing Jim Harbaugh football. When you rush for over 200 yards in the game and, you know, you convert in the red zone as opposed to settling for field goals, you're going to win a lot of games. No matter how poor your defense is, and let's face it, the Ravens defense, especially that secondary, is vulnerable. Yeah. It won't matter if the offense of the other team isn't on the field a whole lot. So when you're able to rush and have those kinds of numbers, and by the way, Derrick Henry, I don't think he found the end zone for the first time here, but it didn't matter, did it? So when you can rush the ball like that, you are going to win football games, a lot of football games, and that's exactly what John Harbaugh did last night.
Yeah, absolutely so. And Joe, we thought it would be maybe a night of both quarterbacks kind of attacking through the air. The Ravens secondary, not great, but they are elite against the run. So although the Chargers want to establish that very thing, we had seen Justin Herbert's production in four of the last five for Los Angeles entering on the upswing. Not so much last night, only 218 yards. J.K. Dobbins, the running back for the Bolts, was injured late in the opening half, did not return. But Derrick Henry, known as the king for a reason. We'll talk about the quarterbacks in just a matter of moments. 24 carries, 140 yards. A rushing yards prop in the low 80s last night that he goes well over. The flock has won 8 games with Derrick Henry in a Baltimore uniform in 7 of those 8 victories now. The king, even at the age of 30, has had at least 92 yards on the ground, Joe.
Yeah, and it was funny because in the first quarter, Ben, all of a sudden Baltimore finds itself down 10-0. And then all of a sudden, the Ravens' offensive line in the running game pretty much took over at that point and scored on 5 straight possessions. And it all started by basically handing the ball off and letting Derrick Henry do what Derrick Henry did. And they just imposed their will, and that was the end of that for the Chargers. The defense couldn't get off the field. Why? Because Derrick Henry, which we've seen him do how many times in his career, basically bulldozed them from the 20s, from one 20-yard line to the next 20-yard line.
And you had Justice Hill contribute to the rushing attack as well. He had a 51-yard touchdown midway through that fourth quarter to put Baltimore up by 2 scores, really cementing the victory. and an impressive one at that for the flock on the road. Lamar Jackson, a rushing score as well. Also tossed 2 touchdowns over his passing touchdowns prop. Both quarterbacks, Joe, had much higher passing yardage numbers entering the night than what they finished with against the opposition. But still, an effective and MVP caliber game for Lamar Jackson. 3 total touchdowns. Derrick Henry, despite having greater than a $2 price, minus 210, minus 220 right before kick to hit pay dirt, did not score last night, and Baltimore still wins comfortably on the road in a critical AFC playoff matchup. Because, Joe, that was the added significance outside of the narrative and storyline of the two brothers, the Harbaughs, facing off last night. Because John and Jim are highly successful head football coaches at whatever level they have been. But John, of course, has been leading the flock for 17 seasons. Jim, now in his debut year in L.A., had the Bolts entered last night at 7-3. Both teams in the top 2 spots in the wild card spots before the start of Monday Night Football. And Joe, that's where they remain. Just flip-flop them. Baltimore, that top at-large team, would be the 5 seed in the AFC playoff picture if the season closed out today. The Chargers now at 7-4, a game behind the Bolts in that AFC playoff picture in terms of the win column, now that number 6 seed. But both teams look the caliber of postseason clubs, as we saw last night to end out week 12.
And I think, listen, I think we all knew that the Chargers, there are warts on this team. As good as they have been, they've basically beaten the teams they should have beaten, right, Ben? And they racked up a whole lot of great stats along the way, beating less than teams. But you want to know why coaching matters in the NFL is don't look any further than, you know, a 4th and 1 from your own 16-yard line, trailing 10-7 in the second, and John Harbaugh doesn't call Derrick Henry, doesn't call Lamar Jackson, direct snaps it to Mark Andrews and gets 1 yard for the first down. And from that point on, the game was over. Baltimore pretty much imposed their will. So coaching matters on both sides. Not the most talented team, the Chargers, but they are beating the teams they're supposed to, and they ended up running into a buzzsaw last night. A better team, just as well coached, and that's the problem.
The Chargers had covered in 6 of their 7 victories this season, but last night, Joe, just the 3rd time this year for the Bolts as an underdog, they are 0-3 against the spread as a dog, kind of highlighting what you are saying. In those step-up of competition-type games, they have failed to cover a number. Sure, they lost by a single score, but the final score a little bit closer than what we have seen. Baltimore over, once again, over in 10 of 12 games. The Chargers remain the best scoring defense in the league, but they allowed 30 last night to Baltimore, 27 the Sunday prior to the Cincinnati Bengals. The Ravens scoring defense, not all that great, but Baltimore still 8 wins to show for it this season. The updated outlook in that AFC playoff picture up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on this Tuesday morning, but we continue to recap the end of week number 12 in the Monday Night Football finale in Los Angeles. The Harbaugh between John and the Ravens and Jim and the Chargers. By the way, in the head-to-head brother matchup, make that a perfect 3-0 for John Harbaugh, the older brother now, who still maintains those bragging rights within the Harbaugh family. Of course, he has the ultimate trump card, beating Jim in Super Bowl 47 way back in the 2012 season in New Orleans, as the Ravens then beat Jim Harbaugh's San Francisco 49ers team. So John Harbaugh has all 3 wins in all 3 matchups against his brother Jim. But not just family bragging rights here, Joe, as we get ready for Turkey Day. An important game last night because of the implications for that AFC playoff picture. And for the Baltimore Ravens, they still very much feel in the hunt, not just for a playoff berth, but a divisional title within the AFC North. when the Steelers lost on Thursday to start off week 12 to the Browns as a favorite, Pittsburgh moved back from the favored team to win the AFC North. They still are in that first place spot by record, and they have the direct head-to-head tiebreaker advantage currently over Baltimore. But you can see the price, Joe. Now at 8-4, the Ravens are a -210 favorite to win the AFC North crown.
Yeah, and they should be, right? I mean, they do. Teams like the Ravens, and we can make the argument, teams like the Steelers, they're built to win games in late December and January, right? And that style of football that you just watched again last night by the Ravens, that's what they do better than just about anybody. And guess what? They are going to take down teams that have a great quarterback that, you know, should be thrown for 300 yards a game against that secondary. But you can't throw for 300 yards if you don't have the damn ball because your defense can't get off the field. So the Ravens are going to do that to a lot of teams the rest of the way through. If they stay healthy, Ben, that's how you win games in January.
Yeah, absolutely so. And we know that Baltimore is going to be that playoff contender in an AFC championship contender as well. At least, Joe, you would think with the opportunity to change the narrative around Lamar Jackson and his lack of playoff success so far. Just a 2-4 straight up record. We are now getting even more jumbled in that tier of three atop the AFC. The Chiefs remain the favorites. They are 10-1. +230. Buffalo back by just over half a buck, +290. But now those three teams, Joe, as the Ravens move forward to +330, those top three teams in the AFC separated by just a dollar. Three teams within a dollar. And then there is a large fall off now that, frankly, in my opinion, feels justified to where the Texans are at 11-1.
Yeah, it's kind of tomato, tomato. What's the difference here, Ben, between a lot of those teams, right? I mean, if you look down on that second half with the Chargers up at the top, the Chargers, when you really dive into the numbers, Ben, do you know they're averaging only 8 points in the second half this season? 8 points. That is not going to get it done as we move into December here and, of course, into January. Who are you being? Your defense obviously isn't as good as the numbers said they were for the first nine games because you didn't play anybody. You know, there's levels to this, and they're in that middle tier right now. They're good enough to beat the sub 500 teams, but they are nowhere even close to where the Ravens or anybody else on that left side is.
So, yeah, let's talk about the Chargers, Joe. You see that 13-1 price, it is sixth best around the AFC. It correlates exactly with where the Chargers are in terms of seeding right now at the end of week 12 in the AFC playoff picture. And the Bolts price to see the postseason in their first year with Jim Harbaugh as the head man is still very strong at -850. Let's start with that first task, to punch a playoff ticket. When all is said and done, do you believe the Chargers are a surefire playoff team here in 2024?
Yeah, listen, they've done enough, and I think their remaining schedule gives them an opportunity to be right there in that group, right? I mean, Steelers and Ravens, ultimately it's going to come down to which one wins that division, but they're both going to be in. So then it's really the West, right? The Chargers and the Broncos are going to be battling it out for those final two spots.
The Chargers on the road in Atlanta on Sunday, a very slight favorite right now against the Falcons, coming off a bye, a huge one back in Baltimore. It's the Ravens and the Eagles. More for the playoff picture next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, at the end of week number 12 of this 2024 NFL regular season, with a Thanksgiving triple header on the horizon, and here on the early line, we'll look at those early lines in just a little bit. You're starting to see that playoff picture in either conference get a little bit more clear as of this moment entering week 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Just six more weeks remain in this NFL regular season. That is the AFC playoff picture. Let's start with the divisional leaders as of this moment from the standings perspective. Sure, you can poke a couple of holes in the 10 wins that Kansas City has this year. It's still the most in the AFC and certainly the most in the AFC West, where KC is looking to win the divisional crown for a ninth consecutive campaign. The Bills, the only team with a winning record in the AFC East at 9-2. The Steelers, as of the moment, still have that advantage over the Ravens in the AFC North, but they are not the divisional favorites. The Texans, again, some flaws that have been exposed in C.J. Stroud's sophomore season, but still the only team in the AFC South with a winning record and the hefty odds-on favorites in that division as well. Joe, as you look at the divisional leaders right now, do you think any of those division races are truly up in the air, perhaps outside of the AFC North?
No, I certainly don't think the AFC East is. I think it's the Bills by a landslide there. Is anybody catching the Chiefs in the West? No. I think that it, pretty much what you see there is what you're going to get. The only race that is to be determined, TBD, is going to be the Steelers and the Ravens in the AFC North, and which one of those ends up winning the division. But either way, whoever wins it, the other team is going to be the five seed, Ben. I think that's where we're heading in this. And the big question is, can the Dolphins, with their schedule, which is very favorable down the stretch, if they can win this game in Green Bay this week, they got a lot of very winnable games. Right. Can they sneak into that number seven spot and maybe take out either the Broncos or the Chargers? And that is really the only big questions that remain right now in the AFC playoff picture.
I would agree with you, Joe, because as you look at the divisional races right now, again, outside of the AFC North, where the Steelers have that half-game lead, but technically make it a full game because they have the head-to-head over Pittsburgh at this moment. They still have to play another time in the Charm City, that is Baltimore, in week number 16. Everybody else, the Texans, -950 to win the AFC South. They are the only team with a winning record. Could the Colts give them a charge? Maybe. But Houston has swept Indy in the regular season, so add on another full game to that divisional lead. The Chiefs are -2200 to win the AFC West yet again for a ninth consecutive season. They still have to play the Chargers and the Broncos once again. They have the Raiders this week on Black Friday, then a matchup against LA following, but that game is at Arrowhead, and the Chiefs have beaten both the Bolts and the Broncos already once this year. The odds so strong in favor of Buffalo within the AFC East, they're not even listed anymore on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So the Bills are very strongly expected to win their fifth consecutive AFC East crown. And so, Joe, I would agree, that's where we get to the wild card component. Virtue of the win last night, Baltimore now leapfrogs the Chargers for that top wild card position. The Chargers fall into the sixth seed. The Broncos, as of this moment, still a game and a half in front of Miami. But as we know, the Dolphins have won three straight games, which makes the nightcap on Turkey Day, albeit on the road in Lambeau, all that much more interesting for Miami. Is it a must win? I would not say so. But if they do pull out an upset victory, Joe, the Dolphins are for sure back into the playoff picture.
Very much so. And you know, before we do the whole, well, it's, you know, it's 20 degrees. It's not 20 degrees in Lambeau. The weather is not even remotely close. They're going to be an issue there on Thursday this week. So, given the fact that they still have two games against the Jets, Cleveland mixed in there, the Dolphins very much alive. So the Broncos and the Chargers are going to need to win some games if they're going to secure those spots.
It is interesting, too, when you look at remaining strength of schedule around the National Football League based on opponent win-loss record at this moment. One of the perceived easy games for the Dolphins against a team sub 500. is the San Francisco 49ers, but we know the Niners are going to be battling for a playoff spot. How easy will that game be? Will Miami even be booked as the favored side? All of that's still outstanding. But again, Joe, when you look at those playoff prices around the AFC, Baltimore and Pittsburgh have built up a big enough advantage based on the win-loss record. We would anticipate both of those teams in. So let's go to those wild card positions. We share the Chargers at minus 850. The Broncos at minus, but only minus 154. The Dolphins right here, right now, plus 250. And as we enter the Sunday slate in week 13, the Bengals, a plus 410 number, if there is any life for Cincy, who is currently 4-7.
Yeah, it's well, they've got zero room for error, don't they, Ben? Anybody zero. Else on our list? Zero room for error. And I can even make the argument Miami, too. That window of there is no room for error. Win the games straight away, and you control your own destiny. The problem with teams like Cincinnati is at four wins, you're still going to need some help in order to be able to get in.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was a time earlier in the year, perhaps opening half of the season, the gauntlet of the AFC conference that we expected perhaps was not as strong as the preseason expectations. The Jets stink. The Dolphins were struggling without Tua Tagovailoa. Of course, the Bengals after the winless 0-3 start. The Browns have not amounted to what we anticipated before the year got underway, where it felt like, Joe, entering this 2024 season, you needed bare minimum 10 wins, maybe even 11 to earn a wild card berth. And then it was like, ooh, if you can get above 500, you might sniff a playoff spot. Now it still feels like 10 wins, given where the Broncos and the Chargers and, of course, the Ravens are right now. Just to highlight a couple of those numbers, the Packers, a 3.5-point favorite on Thursday night at Lambeau. The Bengals return from the bye, and they will host the Pittsburgh Steelers as a 2.5-point favorite on Sunday in Cincy. Critical game for both teams, really, in critical games in the AFC North, because the Bengals are a slight home favorite against the Steelers. If Cincy wants to make the postseason, that is a must-win slash can't-lose type of football game. And on the other side, as the Ravens are still looking up technically in the standings at the Steelers, if Pittsburgh is to lose and the Ravens can beat the Eagles at home on Sunday afternoon, Baltimore would move in first in the AFC North.
Yeah, there are some serious games to be played here, a lot still to be determined. But again, if I'm Pittsburgh, if I'm Baltimore, I'm happy with you know, the cross-conference one against Philly. If Baltimore could win that one, I think Pittsburgh has a much tougher road to win it than what Baltimore does here. So they're going to have to show us something, this Pittsburgh team, I think, over the next few weeks.
You potentially have missed the boat on a Ravens price that was in plus money entering this week 12 slate to win the AFC North. Still a lot of football to be played, both in that division and, of course, for both of those teams. And once again, I do just want to highlight the AFC championship odds to make this point so you can see the distinction. There is a clear tier of three. The Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, all separated by just $1, and then nearly an $8 drop-off to Houston at 11-1, and frankly, it feels fitting. What a day it was to start the Maui Invitational. We recap it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What an opening day it was at the 2024 Maui Invitational. An absolute stacked field on display in the Lahaina Civic Center back on the island of Maui. And Joe, that's one of the critical components of the tournament this year. The premier non-conference tournament during Feast Week, early in a college basketball regular season in the lead up to Thanksgiving. After the devastating and tragic and deadly wildfires in August of 2020, 2023 in downtown Lahaina. They moved the tournament last year to Oahu, still on the islands and off the mainland. But this year, as the community continues to rebuild, the excitement was palpable to welcome back the Maui Invitational to the Lahaina Civic Center, a staple of college basketball, despite being an arena that seats around 2,600 people. And what a show on display yesterday to start off the Maui Invitational. Quadruple header that started with the number two team in the country in UConn and the two-time reigning national champs in Connecticut in an absolute battle against the Memphis Tigers. And Joe, for just the second time in the last 2.5 years, in the last three college basketball seasons, including the NCAA tournament, UConn loses a non-conference game as Memphis wins in overtime 99-97. The Tigers and Penny Hardaway, an outright 8.5-point dog, a total, of course, in the OT of 149 and a hook, stood no chance. Now, you mentioned it. Dan Hurley, always a little bit emotional and excitable on that sideline. At the end of overtime, as the game was tied, his star freshman, Liam McNeely, goes up to grab a rebound. A controversial over-the-back loose ball foul is called on McNeely that sends Memphis to the line that would have put them up just shooting the regular free throws. But then Dan Hurley loses his cool slightly, yells at the refs, and gets teed up. Now, I would say they give Dan Hurley a pretty big runway to yell at them because he screams even when his team is up by 35 with 2 minutes left to go. But they decided to serve up the technical, which cost UConn late in that game. Not just the regular free throws on the controversial loose ball foul on Liam McNeely, but the technical two free throws that put Memphis ahead for good.
And it's a shame, too, because they had to go on a 18-5 run then at the end of regulation just to get that game into overtime there. Right. And then, you know, with the technicals and everything else, you're talking about 7 straight free throws from Memphis, and that was all she wrote. They did have a 3 at the buzzer, I believe, that did not go in. Otherwise, that would have been a very interesting ending as well. But ultimately, at the end of the day, listen, it wasn't Hurley's technical that cost them the game. They dug themselves far too big a hole in that game. Shocking that they even made it back. But to me, there was nothing controversial about what looked like a very standard over-the-back foul, Ben, where it would have been called 9 times out of 10 in any game. It wouldn't have made a difference. Nobody would have questioned it. It's just that Hurley had been screaming and yelling that entire game, falling to the floor. I mean, it's must-watch television. It really is the most entertaining thing you'll see all year long.
So Kamani Young, his associate head coach, who was the rumored guy to maybe take the reins when it seemed like Dan Hurley was going to become the Lakers head coach. You guys remember the spring? That was a crazy time. He's trying to be his holdback guy and also his associate head coach. Listen, Kamani Young deserves a raise because there is not a chance that when a Hurley gets hot, you are holding them back. It was just the second, again, non-conference loss for Connecticut since the start of the 2022-23 season. They entered yesterday's opener in Maui 37-1 straight up with an average margin of victory of 25.2 points per game. And frankly, Joe, the first game in the 2024 Maui Invitational set the stage for the rest of the day. The only game that was comfortable was Michigan State blowing past Colorado 72-56. Sparty covering as a 7.5-point favorite. If you don't know the name, Jace Richardson, yes, the son of Michigan State All-American and longtime NBA star Jason Richardson, get to know it now, MSU's leading scorer yesterday with 13 points off the bench. The outstanding freshman has been incredible early on for Tom Izzo and Michigan State. But, Joe, that was the only game that was not devastatingly or dramatically close in terms of what we had seen again UConn rallies from down 12 with 3 minutes left to force overtime. Iowa State led Auburn in a top five tilt by 16 points at the break, only for the Tigers to come all the way back in Jahni Broome, the preseason SEC Player of the Year, a tip-in with under two ticks remaining in regulation to give the Tigers the win, 83-81. Auburn was a 3.5-point favorite, so the Cyclones do cover in a total, Joe, between two tenacious defensive teams of 144.5, stood no chance with that dramatic second-half comeback for Auburn.
Yeah, no, that was good. And by the way, that Michigan State game, Michigan State missed its first 14 three-point shots that it tried in that game. And still, just to give you an idea, won comfortably and running away. So that shows you the kind of firepower they got rolling there. But Auburn and Iowa State, I mean, it was like they switched bodies, Ben. You know, all of a sudden, Auburn in the first half couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. Iowa State comes out in the second half. They can't hit water if they fell out of a boat. Auburn's making shots all over the place. And just like that, we got ourselves a crazy shootout one in the final couple of seconds. Can't ask for anything better than that.
The second win for Bruce Pearl and his Tiger against a top five opponent, one outright in Houston, knocked off Iowa State yesterday. And how about the dramatic rally in the nightcap? Late night out at the Lahaina Civic Center.
Crazy.
North Carolina down by as many as 21 points early in the second half. Storms all the way back to knock off the Dayton Flyers. 92-90. Dayton does cover, though, as an 8.5-point underdog. What a feast week it is going to be around the association next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, we continue our opening hour of recaps. We've gone through the NFL to end out week number 12. We've gone through the opening day of the Maui Invitational and plenty more from Feast Week later on in our show. Now, last night around the association, pretty solid Monday night in the NBA. I believe 10 games, but certainly flirting with double digits, if not fully at 10. And what a scoring night it was at altitude. The Nuggets hosting the Knicks, a franchise record offensive night for New York. 45 assists as a team, the most we have ever seen in the history of this Knickerbocker franchise. And a career night for OG Anunoby, a career best 40 points poured in the Mile High City against the Nuggets as the Knicks win outright as a 4-point underdog at altitude. 145-118. And yes, the game did go over a pregame total of 233.5.
Yeah, and even more surprising now, I believe the Nuggets are now just 5-4 at home this season, Ben. How terrible is that? They had the best record. They've had the best record, home record, over the last couple of seasons, but it's effort like that, what we saw last night, which is very worrisome to me, even this early on in the season. With the Nuggets, the depth is an issue there. And once again, you know, don't forget, they got eliminated by Karl Anthony Towns and company last year. And Karl Anthony Towns came in here and just dominated them again in this game on their own home court. So there will be games like this. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be more games like this over the course of the season, but that was a little alarming if I'm Denver, because I can't win at home now, and that's a problem with this team.
5-4 at altitude, not a good cover team this year, despite being two games above 500 with a 9-7 overall mark, just 6-9-1 against the spread. That's 16 total games for the Nuggets. Denver has gone over in 11 of 16, and a few of those very few five unders happened when Nikola Jokic was taking that personal leave of absence for his family matters. Again, it is not a great start to this season for Denver. The Knicks, one of four teams in the Eastern Conference above 500, now 10-7, just the second game for New York as an underdog. The first since the opener inside TD Garden against Boston. They did not cover that one. They went outright last night. OG Anunoby, 40 points, 16 of 23 from the floor, including five triples. A very efficient scoring night. Karl-Anthony Towns, 30-15. He was 12 of 15 from the field. And Jalen Brunson, 17 of those 45 dimes the Knicks passed out last night as a team. Speaking of the Celtics being in Beantown, Boston is always going to be a favorite. In fact, Boston has been a favorite in every single game this season. Make that 18 now. Boston has been a double-digit favorite, Joe, in 11 of those 18 games, including last night, to welcome Kristaps Porzingis back for his season debut. And it was a warm welcome inside TD Garden as the Celtics blast the Clippers by 32, 126-94, covering as a 10.5-point home favorite.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this was really kind of over before it started. When the Celtics can drop 51 points in the second quarter on you, and you don't score 50 points in the first half, Clippers, you're gonna have a problem. I mean, 78-49 was the score at the break. They did make a little bit of a run there in the third, but really, I mean, the game was out of control, and then they were just playing out the string there to end it. So breaks a 5-game winning streak for the Clippers, but it wasn't a great spot for them to begin with on the second of a back-to-back.
No, it was not. The Clippers as an underdog this year, still a good cover team, 8-5 against the spread. Total last night of 218 does trickle over, despite the fact the Celtics held L.A. to only 94. Peyton Pritchard, the leading scorer last night, 6 triples off the bench, 420 points. Kristaps Porzingis, 23 minutes in his season debut, 16 points, 2 blocks last night. Not a season debut, but a return for Ja Morant, who had played or had missed the last 9 games for Memphis, had not played since early November. 123-98. The Grizzlies win big at home. And Ja, Memphis's leading scorer last night with 22 points, Joe.
It's good to see. There's a lot of names starting to get back, big names starting to get back to health here. So it's good to see him back on the court for Memphis for sure.
The Grizz cover as an 11-point home favorite. Hour number 2 and some NFL talk up next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.